hopefully that's nice little ambiance underneath all of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some EVPs happening. The veil
non-stop.
Is thin.
Class A non-stop EVPs talking about, I don't know, business.
Yeah, yeah. I think I just heard that ghost say financing.
Impressions?
Oh, man. How are you feeling today? Welcome to the episode, Mace.
I'm fine. I'm not great, but, you know.
Why are you not great?
Dude, it's just been hell, man. Like, we've like, unfortunately had to like come to terms with the realization that we have to rehome Bruce, which is deeply unfortunate. But like, after working with him for 6 months and working with a professional for 3 months, like, he just needs to be the only child. He needs to be in a place where he's the only dog. And, you know, he was a street dog for a while. Like, you know, that's where he was picked up, streets of Dallas. And so there's just like a competition element that he has with dogs that we've just not really been able to fix. And it's really kind of tough on the little corgis, and it's making him more stressed because he's just like in an environment, like our trainer was just like, at this point, it's clear it's like not behavioral. Like, this is like psychological. Like, he has some deep triggers when it comes to this that we've just not been able to get through. And he's just needs to be the only dude, you know? And so we're now in like this awkward space of like figuring out where to take, you know, where he needs to go in a time when every rescue you could ever imagine is full to the brim. And like, he can't just go anywhere. Like, whoever gets him needs to have experience with like a trauma dog, because he's got some and he has his triggers that need to be known and worked around. And it's just like, so now we're just having to try to like keep everybody like super careful and kind of on a schedule, and it's super regimented and separate at times and whatnot, because it's just escalated to this point now. Instead of improving after working on it, just still keeps getting worse. So we're just like on this balancing act of trying to keep everybody cool, but also trying to find a good space for him, because I don't want him to just go anywhere, because he's like got all of the potential in the world. That's where I am now, is trying to figure out what to do. And it's very, very, very stressful. And it's also just shitty, because there's a serious feeling of like failure that comes when you have to rehome a dog or any animal, or at least for me, there is.
Right. Yeah, I know that it has been very stressful for everybody involved, animal and non-animal.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I don't know if anybody listens and y'all are affiliated with rescues that you know of that might have available. I'm willing to travel a bit. Like, I'm willing to take him somewhere. But if y'all know of anyone, please let me know. And just know, like, he's got his, you know, his issues, but like kind of been deduced that this is an environmental issue. It's just, he needs to be in a different environment. But when he's by himself, he's great, you know? So it's just like, he just can't be here. And if the longer he's here, he becomes worse. And with his traumas that he's had, he doesn't need to get worse. You know, like, it's not good for him to get worse. We've put a lot of work into him in making him not as reactive and things like that. And it wouldn't take much, I think, for him to backslide.
He just needs to be the only child, I guess. And I know you. I know that you will do everything to make sure you know exactly where he's going to go.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because again, like, he's got all of the potential, dude. He's so fucking sweet. But it's just,
I want to make it clear,
the wrong house.
Yeah, I do want to make it clear that this was not like a flippant, like, oh, not working out, let's put him back.
No, I've just not talked about it. Because we've been working on correcting these issues for so long now. It's like, I don't want to talk about it and make him seem scary, because it was like, I thought it was all going to just get better. You know, and it's like, so these are things we've been dealing with that I just didn't want to like blast out, because then people can look at a dog like that and be scared, you know, because like, I think this is eventually in the right environment. He could be chill, you know, and because like, but it's just, no, this has taken a lot of thought and we've put a lot of time into it. And it's just, unfortunately, it's just not the right house for him. So I was like talking to Hunter about it. I was like, it's unfortunate, but it's like, we're almost like his fosters, you know, or like his, that's kind of what, like, how it feels, you know, like we got him housebroken and got his obedience done. Like, he has obedience training and all of that, and like polished him up and primed him. But it's like, unfortunately, this house isn't it. It's just not going to work.
I know that has been heavy on your heart lately. And
it has.
It has been.
I do want to say, though, and I'm not saying like this is like me rewarding myself, because I think this is shitty. I don't like that I'm having to do this. But like, I wasn't eating for like 2 straight weeks, and I dropped a fair amount of weight because I was just like worrying about all of this. And so we've had this weird thing with Walmart that keeps happening.
Okay. Can we move on to this incredible, incredible. There is some deity that is still hanging out over the Walmart looking out for you. Because I don't know if you guys remember, let's start with what they were, the last time we talked about this on the podcast, you had just received like bags and bags and bags of Cheetos, right?
Oh God, I forgot about the Cheetos.
Yeah.
That was a while ago though. That might have been the first one. That was the first one. Oh my gosh, that was in the pattern that I didn't even realize. It was started with the Cheetos. The bags and bags and bags of Cheetos. But then it started again. So there was a dry spell after that, right? But then that one Lunchable. Okay. And then the 4 Lunchables that came after that. And then, okay, a gallon of Bluebell.
Oh, wait. I skipped. I didn't hear about the gallon of Bluebell.
Yeah, we got a gallon of Bluebell ice cream. Okay.
Listen, I am convinced at this point that somebody who listens to this podcast works at the Walmart that you pick your stuff up from, and they see your name and they go, what can I slip in?
It's honestly, and if they do, they have good timing, because like to this new one, when I'm stressed, I don't eat. I just don't fucking eat. And so I hadn't been eating, and I dropped this weight and just kind of like, and it was like during that point, I go to pick up the grocery order and I start unpacking it on the counter. And there's so much to unpack here, literally in this order. I pull out 2 slab bags of Malta meal cereal, like the biggest bag, you know, the ones. Okay.
Oh yeah.
The ones. And
the bag, you figured it out when you said bag of cereal. That's all you need to hear.
Which I will fight
exactly.
I think they taste better. I think that they taste better than the name brands, but it was the marshmallow mateys, the Lucky Charms knockoff. And the whatever the Cinnamon Toast Crunch knockoffs are, which are like Hunter's fucking jam, and mine too.
Honestly. Hell yeah.
And so 2 big bags of that, a 36 pack of Nutri-Grade bars, like, you know, the ones with like the fruit jelly in the middle, which I love. I equate them right up there with Fig Newtons, which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. And like those were in there. 2 like Sunbelt Farms boxes of granola, like chewy granola bar. 2 bottles of syrup for some reason. And 2 boxes of cinnamon Pop-Tarts. And I unpacked it all and I just looked at it and I was just like sitting. I started just chuckling. I just couldn't help it. Like, I said that it was in hysteria at this point, because it was just like the ultimate just ridiculousness that I needed to just help me break free a little bit. And I just started laughing about it and looking at it. And I just texted you and I was like, the sugar gods have come for me.
They have smiled upon me, and you sent me a picture. And then here in a couple of minutes, I see another picture loading, and I just see the caption of it first. And it says, excuse me, I forgot these 2. And it was the 2 bottles of syrup.
God, it's unbelievable. So it has helped me. Like, I'm not one to eat a lot of sugar, but I do have to say that like it helped, like, because sometimes when you just, for me at least, when I'm stressed and I don't want to eat and I've just really worn myself down, like sugar sometimes is the only thing I can eat for some reason. It's like I can pass with that, you know. I can be like, all right, I'll take it, you know. It's kind of like the dessert stomach thing. It just doesn't hit the stomach as hard. And then like now I'm back to normal again, and like I'm on the move of trying to like move forward with this for his best interest and get him somewhere. But it's like, it helped. It really did. And I it got me kind of back on track in its own very strange way.
I think that the Cinnamon Toast Crunch and the cinnamon Pop-Tarts are a clue that they've dropped you. And I just want to say, I think if this is someone if this is a listener, if this is you and you're slipping the secrets in,
you did a good thing.
You did a good thing. Also, drop a signal next time. If you're going to do it, listen, if you're doing it anyway, what's something that someone could put in very oddly specific that would let us know that it's a listener giving you a little gift?
Put it, add a pound of beans.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
A dry pound of beans.
Mm, okay.
If it's you. Yeah. And I'll know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like beans the bat in some signal. Form. Whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you can get away with. Beans in some form. We're going to get a call from Walmart headquarters. It's like, you're coercing your listeners to give you free things.
To give you free shit, which is funny too, because I feel like we get dried beans a lot. And so it could just be, we just ordered dried beans.
Like, yeah.
But I guess, shit. You know, it would be, yeah, you can only slip it in on an order that doesn't already contain dried beans.
Like, oh, okay, okay. Oh, stipulations. But if it has dried beans, do canned beans, do wet beans.
Wet. I do like a wet bean. I'll get a canned garbanzo pretty red
any day of the week
for the lunch. Oh yeah, bro. Cut up an avocado in it with some
avocado.
Oh yeah, man. Well, yeah, man.
Avocado sounds pretty tasty. I could go for that right now, first of all. But second of all, what are we talking about today?
Listen, I went cheesy American Thanksgiving, and I'm talking to you today about the cranberry.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's actually, damn it. Should have done a Turkey Day themed thing. Fuck.
Yeah, I guess I could have told you about it, but I didn't.
Well, that's okay. Let's see. I am talking to you about hypersthene. Hypersthene.
Stop. What?
Hypersthene.
Are you saying it right?
Oh, baby. I have done so
many. Hypersthene?
Hypersthene.
Hypersthene.
Listen, if you don't believe.
That's,
you know what?
Stupid. Hypersthene?
Hold on. I'm just making
more work out of a word for the sake of it. Like, whoever made that word knew when they did it that it's difficult.
I'm gonna quickly rewatch a little video. I've watched several.
Have I made you doubt yourself?
You've made me doubt myself. I am pretty sure because there's like they add the cute little lisp into the middle of it, and I do believe it is hypersthene. Hold on,
hypersthene.
Yep. Wait, no, that was you saying it. I thought it was the video.
Yes, that was me.
Yeah. Hypersthene. Okay, so I'm talking about hypersthene. You're doing crab. Stop laughing. It's how you say it. I don't understand why you're laughing at me.
I don't know.
You're doing cranberry. In this episode, listen, you may not want it, but today's episode goes out to our Patreon shout out segment. Our Patreon, with deep thanks and regret, we dedicate this episode to you. George.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Okay. That threw me.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
George.
Okay. This should be so easy. I'm just not used to a single syllable. It's really throwing me for a loop here.
I know. And also.
Oh, I've got one.
Anything under like four syllables.
This is the first thing came to my head. Here we go. Hold the line. George isn't always on time. No, no, no.
What if George is like super punctual?
I like to think that George is super punctual.
Great offense to that. George isn't always on time. Hold the line.
What a fucking song. Hell yeah.
Damn it. What a fucking song.
Love some Toto.
Oh. Hey, Toto. More than Africa. That should be the
more. It should be because it is. They have many great songs.
What is it, Roxanne, that I always call Roxanne, but it's not Roxanne?
It's Rosanna. Yes.
Yeah. I believe you do go first today, dearest.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Okay. I'm so fried. Find it. Okay.
Before you start talking about your subject, there's a couple of things I want to say to you. A, this little shawl you have on is adorable. It's a light green with pink rose.
Thank you.
Little shrug that you have, and it's quite cute. Second of all, are you psyched for the eating holiday, as Kim called it?
I am. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting it's happening. Yeah. I don't feel like it should be happening in 3 days at this point, from when we are recording. And that's a little strange. But other than that, yes, I am ready to eat so much.
Yes. And, you know, I've been quite struggling with Thanksgiving for the past couple of years, as I think most people are, as, you know, as we just sort of think more and more about what exactly we're celebrating.
Yo, it fucking blows. Yeah. No, it's not good. Yeah.
So, and so I just want to say that, you know, Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, we're aware. It fucking sucks.
It's more now like you just like our family is never it's mainly just a day that everybody just like gets together.
It's and I've kind of been trying to I've been calling it different things. And I think that the replacement of the holiday is a pretty cool idea, you know, kind of reworking exactly what it means or using it as, you know, Indigenous Peoples Day or something like that. I will be. For myself, I'm looking at it as the eating holiday. Again, as Kim said, it cracked me up when she said that. And I was like, yeah, dude.
I mean, it's true.
I can get behind that.
It's true. Like, you come in ready for that.
Yeah.
For the food. And
how do you feel about turkey?
It's fine. If you put a ham in front of me, here's the thing. I will eat the turkey. I'll eat the turkey and I will enjoy the turkey well enough. A turkey leg is the true spot to be, in my opinion.
I feel like remember you always getting the turkey. Like you would always try to get the turkey leg.
A turkey leg. And if I get the turkey leg, then I'm not going to go for the ham. But if I'm just stuck with like regular, like sliced turkey meat, that's like, it's good. It's fine. I'm going to get turkey meat and ham, and I'm going to alternate because my heart knows that I like the ham more.
Ham bums me out.
Not me. I love a ham. I love a well-cooked ham a lot. I love it a lot.
I saw a segment, and this is gross, so if you're sensitive to gross things or if you're eating, just skip ahead a little bit, but I'm not trying to make it quick. I saw a segment on one of these daytime talk shows, so I don't know if it was... I don't know what daytime talk show it was, but it was like teens who are addicted to weird things. Not addicted to, but like they do weird things. And there was one girl on who would pick her nose and eat it. Mm-hmm. And they asked her why, like what her obsession was with it. And she said it tasted like ham. So now anytime I have ham.
Oh, wow.
That is all I can think.
Way to ruin ham for Thanksgiving for thousands of people.
Good. It sucks. It's lame.
Fucking it sucks.
It sucks. Fucking loser.
I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but I'll allow it.
Okay.
I am going to use the universe's gift for our Thanksgiving because we again got those two giant fuck off bags of Malt-A-Meal cereal, and I'm going to make cereal Rice Krispies for Thanksgiving because I can't have that much cereal in my house. I can't have it. It's so much.
That is a simple joy to me. Is a bowl of cereal with like ice cold milk. It is a delicious joy.
I know it.
What a treat.
Especially Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Jeez.
I love it. Oh. I love it. Mm-hmm. I also loved the like the cluster cereals, like the banana nut cluster cereals.
I love them. They're great. They're great. I know. I'll eat them until I'm sick.
Yes. I'll also eat grandma's stuffing until I'm sick.
Oh, I fucking know it. There's so many things that I'm ready for. And yeah. And I'm excited too, because this year, so Hunter's family, they're doing Thanksgiving, like, I think the next weekend. So I love that. And because it's always, I really enjoy their Thanksgivings. They're really nice. And so it's like, now they're two separate days, buddy. And so I get to go in with like empty stomach both times. And I'm ready for that. I'm really,
clean
really
house.
Oh, yeah. And it's great. They have this corn salad that just gets me good, man.
I don't think we have any Midwesterner in us, but I don't know where this comes from. I love a salad that's not a salad.
Oh, a mayonnaise mixer?
A fucking pasta salad?
Yeah.
A corn salad? A salad that's not a salad. My mom makes a pea salad and it's like
delicious.
Sweet green peas with chunks of cheese, onions, like radishes, salt, pepper. It's so good.
I love it.
That's not a salad.
Suddenly I'm so sorry. Salad.
Suddenly salad can get it.
It can get it. Suddenly salad fucks and it knows it.
What about since let's go ahead and wrap this back around to your topic and get started. But let me ask you this delicious segue question. What do you think about cranberry sauce?
I like it the way I like, well, I don't really love it out of the can. I like cranberry relish, like kind of like how your dad makes, you know, with like the, it's got like the orange rind and all the other sweet, delicious. And it's like more of like a relish. I like that, but it's fine. It's good. I like it with dressing. I do put cranberry sauce on the dressing because it's pretty fucking lit. And I do that, but like, I don't really get, you know, like get like a big slice of it.
Yeah, like the canned jelly that still has the can rings on it. It is sentimental, or not sentimental. What's the word I'm looking for?
Nostalgic.
Yes, it's nostalgic to me, but I've never really fucked with it.
I don't really want it on anything else but dressing, but it is pretty delish on dressing, and it's also good when you start mixing a little bit of potato in there, and then like the potato and cranberry gets all mixed together, and it also gets mixed in with the stuffing, and you're just really in for it at that point.
You're in for it.
Oh, I'm gonna talk to you about cranberries. Okay.
Yes, thank you,
because I could talk about this until Thursday, and I can't.
Special garlic mashed potatoes that come on Thanksgiving. Oh yeah, baby. Bread.
Some cranberry. Cranberries are shrubs.
Okay. They're shrubs?
They're shrubs, bro.
Okay.
So there are a couple of different first of all, they're in the genus Vaccinium. It looks like Vaccinium. So, okay, there's a couple different species though here. So in Britain, you have the cranberry, and they refer to the native species, Vaccinium oxycocos.
Oxycodone?
I know. While in North America, the cranberry will likely refer to Vaccinium macrocarpin. These are fun names for the cranberry. I can actually
this
say
seems
these.
Like it's not real. All of this isn't real.
No, I know. It's weird. And here's the thing. When I was like taking these down, I didn't like actually read them, like, because it's Latin name. So I just am like, blah, 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 when I write them down. But I'm like reading them now. And I'm like, these are kind of fun. So anyway, they like to. So you've probably seen the pictures of cranberries like floating on the water, or like growing in water. Like, have you seen that?
Yes.
Like back when Ocean Spray ran those commercials all of the time of like the cranberry farmers, you know?
Yeah. So the guy would roll out in his little coveralls and
Yeah. His little waders. And so this is because they like to grow in acidic bogs. And for some reason, when I was doing this research, I was like, I don't really know what a bog is. Like, I don't know what constitutes a bog. So
it's the dead marsh.
Here we go. This is from Nat Geo. A bog is a wetland of soft, spongy ground consisting mainly of partially decayed plant matter called peat. Bogs are a type of freshwater wetland. Histosol, bog soil, is made up largely of decaying plant matter. It is oxygen poor and nutrient poor. making biodiversity much lower than in other wetland ecosystems. Few plants can survive in such an acidic, waterlogged soil, but cranberries totally eat it up.
Do they say that? Did they say for verbatim, totally eat it up?
100%, yes. Lit. They did. So a cranberry, it's like a low kind of like creeping shrub. And the flowers are, I liked the way, and this was the adjective used to describe them that I found on Wikipedia. So the flowers, they are dark pink with very distinct reflexed petals, and reflexed was in italics.
It's like the word itself is flexing.
Yeah, and it was like reflexed petals. And so like with like the way that they look, it kind of, they have very interesting flowers. It kind of looks like the head of like a bird. And so the flowers like kind of pointing for, you just got to look it up. It looks like a bird. They are pollinated by bees. So the fruit is, it's a berry. It's classified as a berry, of course. And the berry is larger than the leaves on the plant. It's light green at first and then turns red when it's ripe, like a lot of berries. And it is edible when it's ripe, but they're pretty. Have you ever eaten a fresh cranberry?
I can't say that I have, but I would imagine it's tart.
It's not. I would consider it unpleasant.
Mealy.
It's very acidic and pretty astringent and kind of like bitter. It's a pretty intense flavor. I tried to eat, you know, with my bladder and kidney business going on, which is the true reason I chose this topic is because I've basically completely flared with all of this whole other situation. I've completely flared up my interstitial cystitis from all the stress and anxiety and shit. And so it was like, that's kind of where my brain came from. It's like, you know, this is cranberry. I was like, oh, it's the holiday. Here we go. And so here we are. But because of the bladder and kidney stuff, I have tried a lot of different things with cranberries. And, you know, sugar is not always the best thing for like bladder infections and whatnot, as it can like feed the bacteria. So it was like, I tried to get unsweetened, and unsweetened cranberry juice is really intense. And, you know, I tried the berries. So it's like really without sweetener in it, just like pure juice, it's pretty tart. It's pretty bitter and kind of overall intense, but I'm sure that there's ways that you can use it. That's fine. And some people might not mind it. It was too much for me. So in 2017, the U.S., Canada, and Chile were 98% of the production of cranberries. So that we're kind of right smack dab in like cranberry country. We're in cranberry land, if you will.
Oh.
And which is really true because they're native. They are native to this land. This is cranberry land. So in North America, the Narragansett people of the Algonquin Nation in like the New England region, they were using cranberries in like foods and dyes for a really long time. And they were called Sassaminiash, and the Narragansett people, it seems like they introduced cranberries to the colonists of Massachusetts, as they did a lot of food items and whatnot. It didn't take long for like, you know, a sauce to get jotted down in like pilgrim type notes and cookbooks and whatnot. So like a cranberry, for it to be like incorporated into the like colonist or like the diet of a New England colonist. And so I saw, and so in 1663, the pilgrim cookbook, I don't know if that was the title. I don't know. So in 1663 was like an appearance of a cranberry sauce recipe. So it pretty quickly started to be used by colonists in like pilgrim cookbooks, like their cuisine. And in 1672, the New England Rarities, In 1672, the book New England Rarities Discovered described cranberries, writing, "Sauce for the pilgrims, cranberry or bearberry, is a small trailing plant that grows in salt marshes that are overgrown with moss. The berries are of a pale color, afterwards red, as big as a cherry, some perfectly round, others oval, all of them hollow with sour, astringent taste. They are ripe in August and September and are excellent against the scurvy. They are good to allay the fervor of hoof diseases.
Hmm.
There you go. So it's just kind of like they're being written about.
The scurvy.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because like, you know, I wanted to look in how cranberries were grown, because I'd always seen the pictures of like how they looked in like the kind of marshy wetland kind of setting. And I never really understood that. And this kind of led me and down to a rabbit hole that I didn't realize that like cranberries are pretty fucking terrible for the environment. But I want to talk about it because this, I think things like this are important because you like something that's like an everyday staple. You just don't know the underbelly, you know, like, I think it kind of spurs conversation on looking into things like this, because this wasn't something that I knew before I did this research, but I found it pretty interesting. So commercial cranberries is kind of what we're talking about here specifically, and how they can impact ecosystems, especially very important ecosystems such as wetlands, which if you've never visited a wetland, I highly recommend you do so. I didn't know until not that long ago that, I mean, there's wetlands all around where I live, like, they're everywhere, and they're really, really important. And I'd always heard about, like, you know, the wetlands, like, you know, the big ones that you hear about, like, they're important in like ecosystem, just biodiversity and whatnot. And for some reason, you don't think about things like that at home, really, you know, like your wetlands just aren't as important as like the wetlands, you know, that are in Florida. You know, or the Everglades, you know what I mean? And so, but they are.
Where and like that airplane crashed?
In the Everglades?
Yeah, the airplane from the spooky zone, Flight 491 or whatever, crashed
Everglades.
Because the captain casually just leaned on the autopilot button and they crashed.
That, I forgot all about that. There were so many mistakes.
So many things went wrong.
I think my non-flying brain was like, let's just forget that story.
Yeah.
And just wiped it away.
Let's forget that a completely competent and very, very seasoned pilot can just get obsessed with a light and fly the plane right into the ground.
As you crash into the ground. Yeah, anyway, they're important. And if you have, you might have some near you. I didn't know that we did, but like there's probably little kind of like state park things that you can, like, for instance, like in Athens, not too far from here, there is like the Freshwater Fisheries Center, and it's built by a lake with like natural wetlands, and you can walk all throughout them and it explains to you what all lives there, how they work, and why they're important, you know. And so it's like they're all important no matter where they are, no matter how small they are. They can house a tremendous amount of life in them. And so these cranberries, when they're like commercial, they're not like in a natural, they kind of carve out these cranberry bogs out of existing wetlands. And there's some downsides that come with that. So for one, again, the cranberry is native here. And so that means that there's a big, long amount of time that pests have also been able to evolve to attack this fruit. So that means you got to really hammer on it if you just want to like easily keep it pest free. So they kind of bring the big guns in to control pests on cranberries. And these pesticides immediately mix into the water of these bogs, and it all makes its way back right into the wetland. So here's an example of this. Here's how this works. So at the end of each growing season, in October or November, they pump water into the bogs from like the nearby wetlands or lakes or whatever. And so this prevents the fruits from getting too cold, so they won't freeze, because they do typically grow in colder climates. Like Wisconsin's a big cranberry producer. I think Michigan. It's either Michigan or Massachusetts. I get those two mixed up. But like New Mexico. Northern, Yeah, just, you know, like it's up kind of New England area. They like a colder climb, it seems. But pumping the water prevents the fruit from freezing. It also causes the fruit to float to or on top of the water, which facilitates the harvesting, makes it easier for them to harvest. And so then once these cranberries are harvested, this water, this bog water, which is now laced with all of these pesticides, it's pumped through like a series of like ditches and dams and kind of like dikes and whatnot, but it makes its way back into these wetland systems. And that can cause a lot of problems because there's a lot of creatures that are very, 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 very sensitive to pesticides, like amphibians being one, like, you know, for instance, like little tree frogs and whatnot, like the little cute ones, you know, that like you can, that stick on your windows and whatnot.
You'd get Lisa Frank binders of back in the day.
Yeah. Nothing kills them fucking faster than like a lot of non-organic pesticides. They're very sensitive because they absorb through their skin. And so it doesn't take much to kill them. And like it was something I was very excited about. Like in our garden this year, all of our pepper plants were just housed by tons of tree frogs. And it's like, it's kind of, because you can't really have that in a non-organic garden. You know, they can only really move in and live because I was just like, oh, that means like we're doing it. And they're like killing our bugs for us. It was like a nice little thing. So we get a new system.
We're doing it.
Yeah, it was very exciting. But they're very delicate. And of course, so are the insects. So not only does that hurt the food chain because you have die-offs, but also animals are consuming these prey animals, the lower part, and it just continues up the food chain. And so there's a decent amount of evidence showing that it harms these ecosystems. And some pretty like notable and like verifiable ways. So really all of that is to say, just like when sourcing your cranberries, just try to see if perhaps there are organic options or, you know, ones that have, you know, kind of clarify how they're grown, if they use pesticides and things like that that can harm the ecosystems that they grow around. And just, you know, luckily, and I don't know how it is for everywhere, but I live in, you know, a rural part of the country. And even in like the last 3 years or so, the organic section at my local Walmart has exploded. Like it used to be nothing. Like if you wanted, like you might could get
a squash, one squash.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like nothing. And now like it's, I'd say like 35 to 40% of things have organic options, which is a big deal. And it's happened very, very quickly. And, you know, that's just something good to remember. And it's like, I wanted to like, I don't know, it's something promising to see, because sometimes it is very easy to get in a slump and just think that nobody cares. And, you know, we're all going to hell in a handbasket and the plant, you know, like it's nothing can get fixed. Like you can't get anywhere, you know, and all of these things are still happening. But then things like that can happen to where you can start noticing, and it seems small, but a lot of things had to happen for that organic section to start growing in this Walmart. And a lot of it traces back to money, and money is the only way things get done. So it's very exciting to see the investment in like in organic produce and whatnot, because that means people are buying it. And so it does, like, it's always, people say like, like your wallet can change things, and it really can. And it seems insignificant when it's just you, but the thing is that it's not just you. There's people all over that want the same thing. And I don't know, it's just, it's very promising. So if you do see options like that, and I know that money's tight, like I completely understand, do it when you can. Sometimes you just can't. But if it's something that you can do, try making subtle switches like that, because not only is it better for the environment, because harsher chemicals aren't being used that damage the ecosystems as badly, but also it's just good for you too. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that before rolling into the metaphys. And there's quite a bit of fun metaphysical shit for the cranberry.
Before we roll into the metaphys, which I'm excited about, because for some reason I was feeling like, you know, sometimes you'll get a topic that has a lot of medicinal, and you always hear about the medicinal part of cranberry, like it helps the
UTI. I didn't even take notes for it because it's like so known. Yeah, I was like, right. I'm not even gonna include it because
vitamin
like,
C and whatnot. But like, yeah, you did text me earlier and you were like, yo, you ever get one of those topics that's like sort of more of a lecture than it is anything else.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah.
That was, it was not expected. I didn't expect like a climate, a serious like climate impact on it. But well, now dude, I know. Now we know, we've learned.
Exactly. That's something I did not, I would have never probably ever even heard.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's just kind of the way it goes with like, at least our food industry for sure in the United States. Like there's just so much shit going on that's not right, you know, and it's not good. And you just learn what you can and make changes when you can. And that's just what you can, that's what you can do. You know, that's all you can do. And it's something. And vote. You can vote. But anyway, the metaphors. So there really are some fun things that you can do with them. And I like a crafty food, you know, like a food that's just kind of got a crafty, that, you know, they're you can do things with them.
Just go to Pinterest and type in cranberry and see what
cranberry
you get.
Craft. Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Oh, so many. And so they're pretty popularly used in sabbats ranging from Samhain to Yule. That's kind of fits the harvest and kind of the growing season. And unsurprisingly, kind of the plump, bright red appearance makes them a bit of a sexy fruit.
I know, so, I always feel pretty sexy when I'm looking at a cranberry.
Yeah, you know, when I'm thinking like, man, you know what's sexy? Cranberries.
Cranberry. Sometimes you just see that extra curvy cranberry and you God damn.
So, for matters of lust and passion and love, and oftentimes those can all go together, they can have the cranberries can have some space in the spell work. And this immediately like got me thinking. I was like, oh yeah, like you know what? Like you could get like this like sexy like wine potion and like you could get it like simmering and whatnot and like put some like cinnamon and cranberry. And I was like, holy shit, that's mulled wine. Dude, mulled wine's like kind of fucking horny. And so I started thinking about it. And it is. So it's like you just like simmer in cinnamon, star anise, orange, cranberry, and all these other spicy, sexy things in wine, and you get it all happy and all like mulled together. And it's like anise and cranberry and cinnamon, like those are three sexy ingredients.
That, you know, that's what I was thinking.
Right there. Sexy ingredients in your mulled wine. And so, you know,
hot cranberries near you.
Well, and it's just something you don't think about, you know? It's just like sometimes like the simplest of things that are like so normal you don't think about, but like sometimes you might should add them in like your sexy war chest because they can pull. You know what I mean? Like we give it a shot. It's wine and sexy spices. Like holy shit. And there's your house is gonna smell like it. You know, they're gonna walk in, they're gonna be like, oh, mulled wine. And they're gonna be into it because who's not?
They're gonna be like, I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Except they might not because it's hiding in plain sight. If you're not into mulled wine, there's also mulled cider, which is delish. And
oh God, that sounds so good.
Doesn't it sound so good? And you can also cook with cranberries. You can put them in dishes. And it's not all lust here. I'm gonna make that clear, but love overall, which also makes sense with having it in the center of the table on this day of family that we have coming. You know, everybody gathers around and there's always the lump of cranberry sauce proudly resting right there in the middle, knowing full and well what it is and what everybody thinks of it. Everybody, you know, it's just, it's very confident. I feel like it knows it's going to be placed on that table.
Yeah.
So there are also cranberries are good additions for your altar. They can symbolize abundance and gratitude. I saw something I really liked. So this was on davyandtracy.com. And this was like a little something that you can do some like kind of gratitude work you can do with your altar. It said place 5 to 10 cranberries in a bowl on your autumn or winter altar. Each day, say 5 to 10 things you are grateful for, picking up a cranberry for each one and then placing it back in the bowl to fill your space with gratitude. So you like, you take them out and then you like say your things and put them back in. You kind of just like a little bit of gratitude work. they're really good. And this is kind of in the same vein, but if you don't want to like make a beverage out of it, but you're just really trying to like kind of work energetically with your home, they are good in simmer pots. And I love a simmer pot. Oh, yeah, man. Magical as hell. And you can really set a tone. Oh, absolutely. And like across the board, witchy, like everybody is cool with it. It's like hanging a broom out front. You know, it's like, it's like kitschy witchy. Everybody's like cool with it.
Yeah.
And they are powerful though. And because you think about it, it's aromatherapy, like in a very intense form, because as long as it's steaming, your space is just getting filled with the essences of all of the materials that you put into it, essentially what you chose for a specific intention, whether you knew it or not. And with these cranberries, you get these just like really good, powerful essences coming out of like this love and abundance pouring from this pot right into your brain. Oh. And yeah. And it, I just think that they have a lot of power, and I really love them. I like to do them as a replenisher after I cleanse, like a good deep cleanse, like then put a simmer pot. And then I like to like, it feels like it just kind of like.
Fantastic. What do you put in your simmer pot?
It kind of varies. I like to put fresh juniper in there.
I was going to say, it depends on the time of year, you know?
Yeah, it kind of depends, you know? So and it depends on the work that I did and how I'm feeling and what the energy of the house needs, like, you know, and just kind of things like that. So, and I don't do them terribly often. Like they're not some, and I don't know why. I just kind of save them for more like deep, deep cleansings, which is usually something that I do like only twice a year. What do you do?
I'm pretty standard. I'll go with a cinnamon stick, maybe some allspice or nutmeg, you know, some of the warm spices, orange slices, a little vanilla maybe, and some cranberries.
Hell yeah, bro.
Hell yeah, bro. And if it's springtime, I pretty much just go just a fuck ton of lemon.
Hell yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Maybe like some rosemary or something like lavender in there.
I like the herbs. Yeah. I like putting herbs in there. It makes it, it's clean.
Yeah.
So if you're a mead maker or just a fermenting brewer of any sort, cranberries can yield their flavor and power to many different types of beverages, from kombucha to beer to, again, mead and all kinds of fun things. So it's a culinary. It can be, I say it all the time, I like things that can be kitchen magic, kitchen witchery type things. And cranberry is really one of them. Like, you know, it's also has its symbolic purposes, like being put on the altar. You can string them together as well and make garlands out of them and decorate your tree or your whatever you want to do. But it's always nice to have these kind of like witchy intentions when you do it in plain sight, if you kind of have to hide sometimes in plain sight. But you know that it has these elements of abundance and gratitude and love that go throughout. And
lust.
And lust. And hey, sometimes it's all right. Sometimes a little lust is all right. So
decorate your handcuffs with them.
Yeah, you know, just whatever you want to do. They're very decorative. And, you know, I don't know. It just kind of, this made me look at the cranberry through new eyes. And, you know, and I'm sure, like, and there's such a rich history to it, too. Like, if you go back into how Native Americans used it long before we showed up, you know? And so, I mean, it's just like, it's a useful berry. It has been used for a long time for really useful purposes, such as food and dyeing, things like that. That's also, you know, so it's just, I see it differently as that. Like, I see it beyond as just like a bag of craisins, you know, is like, it really is this rich native plant that has been here. But also just through the eyes of how we need, you know, to just try to source them better if possible and make it so they are native to here and we don't need to destroy this land that they're on to grow them commercially. It doesn't make sense, you know, like that that doesn't need to be the way that it is. We need to cherish them and the land. Yeah, and just try to find a way to do this right. So anyway, there's that. And just, yeah, there's cranberries. Use them however you want to use them. Make you a nice little relish. Slather it on your body. I don't really care. That's cranberries. Do what you want.
I don't
want.
Care. What do you want? What do you want? What do you listen to this podcast for?
What do you, I don't know. Just
eat them.
Throw them out. I don't know.
Throw them out. Macy, I know it's been a stressful time for you recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sponsor of today's episode could really help with that. I'm talking about BetterHelp.
That's right. BetterHelp is licensed professional counseling that can be done from your house, from your couch, from your bed, from your car, from so many places that are not involving you going to a terrible, terrible waiting room.
That's right, baby. It's all online. You can text, you can email, you can chat, you can video chat. They've got all the options. And listen, if finding a new therapist makes you nervous because you think you got to vet a whole lot of people, they make it super easy to swap your therapist at any time.
And if you're feeling like maybe your specific needs, whatever you're needing to talk about, might not be something that you can find a qualified person in your area, the beauty of BetterHelp is that it is a worldwide service. So there is going to be somebody that can be matched just right for you.
That's right. With everything going on in the world, they have added tons and tons and tons of therapists onto their roster. So there's always going to be somebody available to talk to you about the things that you want to talk about. Things like depression,
stress,
anxiety,
relationships,
anger,
family conflicts,
grief,
LGBT plus matters,
trauma,
self-esteem,
and
more.
And speaking of and more, I know that the holidays can be a really, really tough time for people. We're talking people who have too much other people around, or people who don't feel like they have enough people around. It can swing both those ways, baby. Mm. And that can really take a toll on your mental health. If you're looking to talk to somebody, check out BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com/witch to get a sweet 10% off your first month.
That's right. And if you don't believe us, you can check out daily testimonials. They put them up every day. And again, that is on BetterHelp.com. And one more time, if you want that 10% off your first month of BetterHelp, hop on over to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/witch to get 10% off your first month today.
Today. Macy, you know what I'm talking to you about?
Slytherin. I don't remember.
Yes,
whatever.
Slytherin. Yes. That, you know what? Whatever I was talking about, scratch it. I would like to talk to you for 30 minutes.
Salazar, the Hogwarts Slytherin.
House of Slytherin. The cunning and ambitious.
That would be fun. Yeah, we could do a 4-part series, each one picking the house and picking it apart.
Yeah, pick it apart. And we can argue about it. We can get good old fights about it.
We could. That sounds like good Patreon content to me.
Oh, man. We could talk about whether or not half houses exist. You know, it'll be good.
Oh, God, I want to answer you, but I can't go down that road.
Yep, exactly. Okay. No, instead, I am talking about hypersthene.
Okay.
And this is here we go. So the word itself, which I'm saying 100% correctly, it means absolutely. It comes from Greek. And it translates roughly to overstrength.
Okay.
And this is a little bit of a misnomer because when they named this, they actually were confusing it with another mineral that is quite strong. However, hypersthene in itself is pretty fucking weak. It's pretty brittle.
Okay.
But its name is like super strong stone.
It believes in itself.
It really does. And you know what? That's actually kind of fitting for this because there's a lot about, we'll get there, but there is a lot of self-esteem enhancement going down.
Can you tell me really quickly how to spell it?
I sure will. It's H-Y-P-E-R-S-T-H-E N-E. Harold, yogurt, pepper, okay. Israel, random, shit, TikTok, Harold, elephant, nighttime, empanada.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Good job. Okay, I'm seeing it. I'm looking at it. It also kind of reminds me of those magnetic dudes that you talked about pretty recently.
Yeah. I thought that as well, checking it out, and I was like, what are the odds? So, and it is often reflective. It's not quite as shiny. However, if we're talking true hematite, true hematite is a little less shiny. It's less mirror-like than the stuff they sell in the store. And then this is like a step down from that. But it is shiny, and they have what they like to call a velvet appearance.
Hot.
Now, the chakra that you can align this to is the root, as is common with a lot of like darker stones, red stones, black, kind of dark, smoky brown, that kind of stuff.
I forgot to include that as well with cranberries. They're rooty.
Rooty, because they red, right?
Yeah.
Birthstone is Aries. The planet that it's associated with is Pluto. Pluto's a fucking planet!
Jerry.
The elements would be fire and water.
Mm.
So speaking of the color of the stone, they are usually kind of a grayish to black, but if you really inspect it, it's sort of a brown, like a really super dark chocolatey brown.
Like a smoky, ambery, quartzy color.
Yeah. Like the color of good barbecue. I don't know. They can also... So you just said smoky and brown, and my brain went barbecue. No, but they can vary a little bit, as most stones can. So they can be lighter brown. They can even be more gray or even on the green. And of course, well, not of course. I don't know why I would say of course. But there is a red presence that comes through. Depending on how you hold the stone, it's hard to capture the exact color of the stone. That's why sometimes when you buy it online and you get it, it's not quite what you were expecting.
Womp womp.
Because you might be looking at it like, wow, this one has a really strong red presence. Let's get that one. And then you get it and it's slightly green. It all depends on how the light's hitting it, how you're looking at it. It can really change. It's got the tiger's eye effect, that kind of shimmery. It can change. It's a little bit of a swirly, like a swirly crystal ball action to me.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, it gives me a little bit of a, phone, you can work it out. Here we go.
Work it out.
It looks to me like a... like dude version, you know, like dude packaging is always like grays, and it looks like if they dude packaged Labradorite.
Oh, that's another thing. I saw someone refer. What did they? What was it? What was it? The weak ass cousin of Sodalite.
Sodalite was the poor man's lapis.
That's right. Okay, so this has a name. This is called the Velvet Labradorite.
Huh.
Sometimes. So,
see, to me, it just looks like monochromatic Labradorite.
Okay. Just give it its name. Sure. It wants that velvet title real bad.
It really seems to.
It does. It was everywhere. Speaking of everywhere, you can kind of find this stone everywhere all over the North Americas. So we're talking about the U.S. of A. and Canada.
Okay. All of it.
All of it.
That is funny that we picked topics today that are both primarily from the U.S. and Canada.
Mm. Wow. It's our American coming through.
It is. It's really seeping out.
Oh, God. like an ooze, like an infection.
Oh, man. My America is oozing again.
Oh, God. I mean, accurate.
I feel like we're an oozy bunch.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Hold on. So when it comes down to how you can use this in a not metaphysical sense, you can use this in a like a mundane or a health additive. The list is pretty short, actually. It all circles around the calming of the stone, because as we'll get into the metaphys, this is a super calming, like stress relieving stone. So when it comes to issues of perhaps bad sleep, or if you're going through really tremendous levels of stress, of course, this is a dark stone, so it will be grounding and it will help to absorb kind of negativity. It does have that sheen to it, so you could even use it in that protective way, much like we discussed with hematite. If you are feeling particularly anxious, I guess, or if you need to, something I saw a lot out there is if you need to recover from, say, you just had like a surgery or you're getting over an illness and you need that rest to help make you well again, this can help out in that way. There was also some evidence to suggest that some people use this for like glandular endocrine type things, the stomach area and reproductive organs may benefit from kind of carrying a stone. I didn't really see much going into that. But from what I gathered, it was, I don't want to say weak, but it's a gentler type stone when it comes to your body. However, what it's not gentle about is the goddamn metaphys. Okay. This is a very protective stone. And it protects by helping you calm down and center yourself. Like, you know when you, I don't know if this is the correct way to refer to it, but you know when someone goes serial killer quiet?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay. This will kind of help you channel that, because there's a level of like anxious or angry or whatever, where you're just kind of floating around. You're like, gotta get this done, gotta do this. Or maybe you're so mad. You're like, how in the fuck could they? I'm so mad. But then you hit that stage where you're like, okay, take a deep breath, breathe it out. I'm really stressed right now, but this is what I'm going to do about it. You get in the zone. And
I hit serial killer calm somewhat. I'll hit it. I'll push myself there. Yeah. I'll hit it. Yeah.
I'll hit it every once and again. If it has been a prolonged period of upset, I'll hit it. Particularly, I'll hit it with anger. I hit it more with anger than I do with stress or anything else, or being overwhelmed. I'll hit it if I'm really mad. I'll kind of just be like, okay, I'm going to digest this.
Yeah, I'm going to deal with you slowly.
Yeah. I need to really churn on this, but it will help to organize. It'll help to kind of corral your flying, your very flittering thoughts that are very hard to grab a hold of in those moments when they're just kind of flying all over the place. It'll help you compartmentalize a little bit better and help quiet things. And that was something I saw quite a bit, was it helps to quiet, I don't want to say quiet the mind, because it's not dulling your mind, but it's quieting the uproar that your mind may be in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
For this, you know, that could, just the static that can come. For the same reason, it's really good for meditation, because it helps get you super deep. It's also a grounding stone. And there's another element to this stone. It wakes up the supernatural within us. It helps us connect to spirit, and it helps us whatever you're kind of naturally inclined to do. So I guess, you know, mace would be elemental type connection, and I, you know, with me it might be like ancestor or spirit type connection, or if you have prophetic visions or whatever that you're kind of naturally pulled towards, it's going to help to anchor that and to really put you in that space to do that, especially in that metaphysical sense of kind of crossing the barrier, you know, kind of riding the hedge, you know, being one foot in and one foot out, that kind of thing. And it can do this in a way that some other things can't. So when we're talking about certain herbs to drink or certain, you know, blends that you can smoke cleanse with and stuff like that, it can have like a drowsy side effect, you know, and I'm thinking like a lavender tea. Lavender is really good.
Like a catnip.
Yeah. These things that are really good to maybe get you in a very calm meditative state or maybe prepare you for dream work, make you a little dopey, a little sleepy. This will do this without, it's like the medicines that are like, no side effects. What is it? You know, without the sleepy side effect.
Non-drowsy
formula. That's what it is. It's the non-drowsy formula. hold on, let me see. I even saw somewhere make a pretty bold claim. Now they said that this stone, this is going to blast open all of your chakras.
God, you know, I feel like that happens. Things say that more than they should.
I feel like that's a pretty common claim.
I feel like everybody's chakras should just be wide ass open
all the time, flapping in the wind. But this one was really pretty adamant about it.
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A very helpful element of this is the stone is also tied to confidence. Not only self-confidence of, I don't know, what your everyday self-confidence, like I look good or like I made a good choice today doing XYZ. It's going to help your magical self-confidence. Oh. It's going to help you do something. If you're someone like me and you hear the phrase like, oh, well, you know, once you do it, you have to believe that it's going to work. Otherwise it won't. Then my brain is like, oh shit, I'm immediately thinking about how it's not going to work. It's going to help cut some of that out. Mm-hmm. It's going to help kind of set you on that path of, okay, I just did this thing and I am completely and totally capable enough. You know, I am powerful enough. I'm capable enough to where this is going to work. And it'll help you get into that place to bring about that self-confidence, which then in turn is going to put you even more in touch with your spiritual gifts. So it's sort of like the gift that keeps on giving. Oh. Now, there seems to be a theme with Hyper's theme. It's like it does X without doing Z. So this, it puts you in the meditative zone or it puts you in the zone for higher spirit connection without making you drowsy. In another way, it says that it helps to enhance your self-esteem without giving you narcissism. Like it will help. It helps
without just giving you narcissism.
Yeah. And like a gift. Congratulations. You have narcissism now.
Oh, man. Woke up with it. Oh, I feel like I got a light case of narcissism today.
Shit. Woke up. You know, last spring when I had that, you know, narcissistic personality disorder. Yeah.
You know, the whole thing, the whole diagnosable thing. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Gone. Went away.
I guess full of yourself is more what I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm
yeah. Arrogant.
Yeah. Arrogance. Can you imagine if you could, you just wake up one day and you're just like, me.
Well, I guess you don't know. You don't know it.
I guess. Yeah. Ooh, that's spooky.
You're just super into it. Yeah.
It being yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that does ever happen, I'll just kind
like
of
how funny
up.
It is to both of us.
It's so funny. If that does ever for some reason happen.
Dude, I don't know
here.
What I would do if I like, oh, God. If like I just called you one day and you were just different like that.
It's like, spooky.
It would be really freaky. I think it really would because you're not that way, you know, and it would be so weird to just like call you up and have you just like getting off on yourself and how great you think you are. Like, you know, like in that way, it'd be weird.
Yeah. Like if I called you one day and I was like, hey, yo, can I borrow a thing or can I, you know, ask for a favor? And you're like, well, you know, I do let you stay here a lot. I do think you owe me something for that. You know?
Yeah.
That would be very weird.
Weird, you know, like a sudden shift like that, or like even I feel like if you just like talked about yourself a lot, like if we had a conversation and you just like talked about, I'd be like, that was strange.
This is gross.
Yeah,
that's would be such very a creepy weird. Body snatcher-esque kind of thing that we're talking
like true
about.
Narcissism is pretty it's noticeable, you know, they're narcissistic, like, no, like kind of like true narcissism.
And in the diagnosis, like the yes, personality clinical disorder
sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. And it's hard to, it's an interesting one to deal with, let's say.
But on a last little note here, if you do someday, you just wake up and you're feeling some type of way, this is a good stone to help people redirect judgment, mm-hmm. or their it'll help you redirect your judginess towards others. Okay. So if you're in a spot maybe where you're trying to, say you are trying to open up and learn more about certain things, you know, or maybe just maybe, if you're going to Thanksgiving with some people that you know, that conversation of why Thanksgiving sucks comes up.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to come up. And you know there's some people there who are just not going to get it. They're just not going to get it. Maybe, you know, maybe you got one of these in your pocket. And maybe it'll help the entire room feel a little bit less
narcissistic.
And you can therefore get the fucking point across. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
There you go. Just get through it, everybody.
Yeah. Just stuff your face full of stuffing and turkey and just wait for the day.
Just go limp.
Yeah. Dead weight.
Yeah. Pick a, chair, or a top spot on the floor and marinate.
Go limp. Don't answer when people call your name.
Just pull the dad trick and just kick your head back and pretend you're asleep. They get away with it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Or just actually do the dad trick.
If you can nap.
Drink a couple of beers and just take a nap, man.
Oh man. If I could.
Get loaded up on turkey. Oh. Mm. Go to sleep.
Mm. Dude, I wonder what kind of shit grandma's going to bake.
Oh man, I don't know. All I know is somebody said that Russ was going to bring those rolls from that little restaurant that's down
from the farmhouse. Yeah,
the farmhouse. Oh baby,
they're fucking great. It's going to do me well, and I think it'll help my spirit. To see everybody again for one, I haven't seen your folks. I forgot to wish Shrimp and Grits a happy birth yesterday, and I got to get on that. Right. Yeah. So it'll be good to see everybody and all of that. And it'll be nice.
And, you know, and maybe we'll go out in the yard and we'll play a rousing game of American football.
Okay, but listen, though, I love yard sports. I love, like, capture the flag. Capture the flag is my personal favorite. I'm dead serious about how much I love capture the flag. But, like, so is touch football and flag football. Like, I love them. I love them a lot.
You know what I don't consider? Okay. I was going to throw out my opinion, but I realized that this is neither a Thanksgiving tradition, nor is this a yard sport. I was just going to profess my love for hide and seek.
I mean, it's a game.
I mean, it's kind of like capture the flag. You need to be sneaky, you know?
You got to be sneaky.
Yeah.
And you are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And capturing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the rules are a little twisted.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you could combine the two somehow. Make it some kind of weird, capture the seek. Hide the flag.
Honk at the minivan.
Honk at the minivan. Oh, man. Macy, that minivan did nothing wrong. It was just somebody driving, doing their job, trying to haul a big load of review footage.
I didn't know what you were doing until you said big load. And then I caught on. Well done. Mm. Well executed. Mm.
Yes. Today's little bit of nutritional bean footage.
Little
bean. Not bean. Review footage. Comes from Winnie Muko, witch. I probably butchered that. And it's called Bewitchingly Fun. I just found this podcast this morning and I have been listening all day while working around my house. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this accent is. I don't either. I didn't pick one, but I'm going on. I love all the educational tidbits and little known facts these girls share about everything from tomatoes to Marie Laveau. Love this show.
You walked a little.
What'd you think?
I feel like you walked around that accent a little bit. Yeah.
Peppa.
It ended really Penny Scott Andrews-y.
I'm Penny Scott Andrews.
Which on her, it's cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not me. On me, it's creepy.
And Peppa.
Peppa. Salt and Peppa. Ah, push it. So dumb.
Oh my gosh, dude, I enjoyed this. I needed this chat. I feel good.
I feel good. I'm actually really craving some cranberry sauce, so I'm very happy that that's going to be happening soon. And if I could just bogart the conversation for 5 seconds here, I want to announce that I'm doing another Sims live stream. Please join me this Friday, the 26th. I think a lot of people, you know, it'd be nice. It'll be a nice little cap. Little end cap to the holiday. I know a lot of people get off. Maybe if you're trying to get away from your family, watch with your family, you can do that. 6 p.m. Texas time, that is Central Standard Time, Friday 26th, The Sims, that's twitch.tv/Charlie_with a Y. That's spelled W-H-Y. Join me. Ed Macy will probably deliver her second little squirt.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you want when you're hammering the squatch?
He might be fertile too. I mean, I think we're both very fertile people.
Yeah. And we'll get to do a fun little rebrand of Sam Squanch in the game, because we're gonna make him a little salty. A little salt squatch.
He's gonna be salty, and I have a toddler now. Y'all aged up the first one.
Little squirt, say his name.
No, I won't. Say it. And I am I'm glad, because he was a real strain on all of us, and Kirsten really wanted to throttle him, and it was stressful.
Well, she still wants, I'm pretty sure she still wants to punch your child, and she just might. But
she might
also try to kill your husband because she hates him, or your not your husband, you can't tie him down.
Fucking jealous because he's fucking sexy as hell.
He's pretty fine.
He absolutely is. And he's learning the guitar like a sweet man.
He's doing it on his own. We have chickens now. Macy's going to squirt out a couple more babies.
Apparently.
It's a good time. Join us over there.
Kirsten, y'all are toxic as y'all are. You really kind of need to start making babies too here, because we need farmhands, and
we do need,
you're help. Losing the baby race here. Okay. And your partner wants to hurt the babies we have.
She does. So who knows? I keep saying that maybe something's going to happen to her.
Everybody wants to murder her via chicken.
Yeah.
Which I could go for watching.
Listen, I could get behind it, but then they go and they do something really sweet.
I know, she's cute. Y'all are cute, but you're toxic as hell.
Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's real bad.
So it's codependent, kind of.
Yeah. Too. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw it, Mace, but towards the end, we went ahead and we added some characters to the game.
Okay.
Not only did we have Jim and Sawsbox, but we now have Miss Cornelius Beekman.
Good.
And her sister, Cornelia Beekman.
Perfect. Okay, good. There's two.
Yes. And we also have the Hills from King of the Hill. Yes, it's great.
Where do they live? Tell me where they live.
Oh, I don't know. We kicked out some family that came with the game. Which
they don't
this
matter.
This whole township, it's Henford-on-Bagley. It's based on England, and the idea of Hank Hill in living in England is too much.
I think he would be continuously offended.
But you know what? He would have.
I think he'd love the food. He would have a great lawn.
Oh, you have the beers.
I think. Yeah. I think he. I think he would be ashamed to admit his love for it. But I think he would love it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not American, but you know, there would be a whole episode. There'd be a whole arc around how he just kind of slowly finds out how much better it is.
Well, I just feel like you'd put Hank Hill in front of a shepherd's pie, and he'll just ascend.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Peggy. He won't know what to do with himself. And Bobby will absorb right into the culture.
Oh, he will be a little English boy.
Yeah, he will be. but like an early 19th century.
Yeah, in a creepy way.
Yeah.
It's like when he becomes a dandy.
Yeah. Oh, God, 34 years. Okay.
Oh, well, God.
All right. Well,
so just as a little wee announcement, we are going to be taking a week off. And this is no silly soda or anything. It's just going to be a week off on December 8th. And just as a little vacation for us.
If y'all are a longtime listener, you will know that back in the early days, we took a week off for Christmas time. But we have since, as of last year, kind of adapted that to do Christmas spooky story time.
Yeah.
Instead, I quite enjoy.
I love it. I think it's a perfect tradition. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've actually had a week off, a non-released week in a good long while now.
A very long time. I think we had one mental health day early on at the beginning of this year, perhaps. But we generally reserve about two a year, not including the whatever we take off for holiday. So I'm quite proud of us.
Yeah, we don't like missing. But a little bit of R&R, a little bit of vacation would be good.
R&R.
Yeah.
Rope and rotisserie chicken.
What is it? Rich and Royal? What is that whiskey?
Big and Rich.
I don't remember what it's called. But I'm excited. I don't know what I'm going to do during that week. I mean, probably not much different. But it's just knowing that it's a vacation week makes it feel like it's a luxury, you know?
Show the moon your butthole.
I will. I've showed the sun. Might as well show the moon.
The moon's a little jealous.
Yeah. And she can look at it longer without burning it, so.
The sun is just so intently staring at it.
Yeah. That was a very short reveal. Mm.
The sun went, and then it was gone.
Yeah. I was, oh.
Oh.
I was just getting a good look at it.
Thank you for showing. How many people do you think are showing the butthole to the sun at any given time?
I like to think at least
five.
On this planet?
On this whole planet, how many people are showing their butthole to the sun at any given moment, on average?
I bet 1,000 people a day. There are billions of people on this planet.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who they've probably made that a daily practice.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crunchy weirdos like me who will be like, yeah, I'll show the sun my butthole.
Why not?
And do. Yeah.
Get a little sun on my butthole.
Not for long, though. It's delicate skin.
It is. Yeah, just a glimpse. A glimpse. Yeah. I would love for the, delivery, the USPS or something to have rolled down the hill at that moment.
Oh, God. Why? While I'm doing happy baby pose at the sun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you just see this naked chick in the woods.
Dude, you know they see some shit. I think about that sometimes. Like, I sometimes, because our UPS guy has been in the game for a long time. Like, he's a long time driver. And I wonder, what have you seen?
Too much.
Mm.
Hey, if anybody out there has seen some shit in your day, tell us what it is.
Give us content. Show me what you got.
Yeah, that's what. Not cool.
Oh, God. Okay. So there's that. This, I feel like this was a bit scattered, but I expected that. I was Marcoing you earlier and I was like, I don't know how good I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be any good.
Well, with that said, let's end this. What's in this now?
Let's just stop it. Delete it.
Let's go ahead. Let's put up the placeholder episode. And we'll see you guys next week after the eating holiday. Get your bellies full, but
get your eat on
responsibly. Get your eat on.
Yeah, do so responsibly. Drive safe. Still keep your distances with people. Mask up if you need. Yeah. Yeah. All that jazz. There's still all that bullshit going on. Mm-hmm. But enjoy everybody's company and all of that. And
yeah,
I don't know. Have as happy of a Thanksgiving as you can.
Have a happy of a Thanksgiving as you want.
As you want. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a normal day. You know, like it's weird. Like this year, it's just kind of like, oh, it's Thanksgiving this week. Shit.
Yeah. 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 It does. That it is a strange remembrance. I feel like it'll probably feel the same for Christmas as well.
Yeah. It's like it took only 1 year to get out of the habit. And that'll add, you know, towards just like, oh, holiday. Oh, Christmas. Oh, this doesn't feel like Christmas. I don't feel the holiday spirit.
Did I tell you? I think I did. Did I tell you the story about the rant I saw somebody go on at Walmart? Did we put that in an episode already?
I don't know. Remind me.
Okay. So I went to Walmart. And this, granted, this was in like October. Like Halloween had not yet happened. And you know, it's tiring. We all hear it. Every year they're putting stuff out sooner and sooner, which is true. Yeah. But at the same time, okay, you don't need to say it every year. Okay, we get
deal with it. Yeah.
It's happening. What are you going to do? Vote. Vote should be at the end of anything.
For everything. What do you want me to do about it?
Vote. But it was out in the garden center, and they were putting up the Christmas stuff, and some of the Christmas stuff was already out, and Christmas songs were even on already. And this pair of people walk through the door, and I just want to paint you a picture, okay? So this is a woman who looks maybe, I don't know, she's maybe mid-50s, right? Mm-hmm. And she just seems like she's exhausted. And she's pushing the cart, and she has her fully grown adult son trailing behind her. Very much still lives at home, which is fine, mm-hmm. but very much for is probably that, not the great reason.
He's that type.
There is no job involved. There is no income. And, you know, he definitely asks for nuggies on a regular basis.
Just
tindies.
Just bit of a greaser, maybe.
Bit of a man child. Okay. Is more. Okay. You know, and he's wearing his cargo pants, like short pants, you know, with tall socks and Reeboks and like an anime t-shirt, mm-hmm. which, hey, don't get me wrong. I own plenty of anime t-shirts, but but they get in there and he immediately loudly starts talking about looking around. Well, this is why nobody has the Christmas spirit anymore. How you expect anyone to have the Christmas spirit if we're putting this stuff up in October?
You know, though, I agree with him.
Sure, but do you agree with the outburst? Because I'll tell you, his mother
110%. I do not know. But his mother was horrified.
She just kind of looked at. Well, see, the thing is, she I don't know. She might have been. She showed nothing. She showed a heavy sigh.
She's like, I made this.
Yeah, she realized her child was a dud,
and, oh my God.
And just kind of moved on. which I mean, to be fair, I will say, looking at the material, I agree with the sentiment.
I do. I think it ruins the anticipation of the holiday when you see it for so many months.
I can't say that I agree with the loud proclamation.
No, I don't agree with many loud proclamations. I feel like there's not many proclamations that you make that are improved by being made loudly versus just being commented upon.
But hey, to each their own and all of that. And I'm gonna go now.
Happy eating day. I feel like we ended this episode adequately.
I don't know where to go from here.
I think we've made going home noises for a while now, many of which we've definitely cut out. Oh, and
I think we just give a hearty happy turkey day and the way that you celebrate it.
Eat up.
Let's eat up. Get stuffed. Remember the reason for the season.
Get stuffed. And however you want that word to mean.
Oh. Sexy cranberry sauce.
Sexy cranberry sauce. Telling you, mix up mulled wine.
Oh, you'll be getting stuffed.
Stuffed. It's gross.
Stuffed.
Stuffed.
You know what it is, bitch.
Stuffed. It's weirdly childish, but also like
graphic.
I don't know. Food-like? It's weird. I'm leaving. No.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay.